I have 2 weeks to search all of the former Soviet Union for the superhumans that can stop a supervillain.
Exactly right. These people are our only hope.
What's the name of the mission?
Guardians.
War is over, we were, and cold and sad.
We're all the same. Lair. Kaz. Arsis. You want to know who did this to you? Come with us.
Rapid military attacks on Moscow continue.
Army turned out to be useless against the opposition forces. All attempts to stop it ended up with a complete shutdown of any machinery.
Welcome to They Call This a Movie, testing the strength of friendships one terrible movie at a time. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and other podcast services by searching They Call This a Movie. We're part of the Main Damie Network, and to find more from us, check out the website at themaindamie.com or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at themaindamie. Welcome back to They Call This a Movie. I am Anthony Delvecchio. With me, as always, is Mark Myers and Dan Aquino. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hey, everybody.
I'm hoping to not go full bear by the end of this episode.
Full bear.
That was full bear mode.
That's probably the best part.
Yeah. So, this week, we are talking about a movie that we tried to make a very loose connection to, Captain Marvel, which comes out Friday. You'll be hearing this on Thursday, so tomorrow is Captain Marvel Day. Happy Captain Marvel Day, guys. We're actually recording this on Fat Tuesday, so also happy Fat Tuesday.
Yeah. Are we allowed to say happy Captain Marvel Day as white males?
Yeah, I believe Brie Larson does not have jurisdiction over this podcast.
Okay. Well, regardless, she could say whatever she wanted to me, and I would, yep, you got it. Sounds good to me. But I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but I am a huge Brie Larson fan. And if she hears this, I agree. There, no white guys should see Captain Marvel.
That's right. I've been anti-white guy for quite a long time. It's a good thing that you finally got on that bus.
Oh, it needed Brie Larson to champion it, really.
I see where my opinion matters to you.
Why listen to Anthony Delvecchio, who's not as hot as Brie Larson? Slightly less hot. Although I think you guys have the same, you know, butt shape, I'd say. You're not... It's pretty close.
I do look pretty good in a Air Force jumpsuit.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, that time you wore it for Halloween. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That was actually me. When so all my famous ZZ Top Gun.
But yes, I already got my tickets to Captain Marvel on Friday. The wife and I are gonna go, and she already told me she's going to scoff at it. And I've never seen someone so petty towards someone who they really have no opinion about one way or the other.
She's very anti Brie Larson, right?
Yeah, I don't know where this came from. I don't know if maybe they had a class together growing up and I don't know about it, and like Brie used to pick on her. But I don't think she would spit on Brie Larson if she was on fire. I should have lied and said that Scarlett Johansson's in it. did you hear? At the last minute, they cut out Brie Larson and they made it a Black Widow.
Widow movie.
I'm there.
I also have tickets for Friday night to see Captain Marvel with the wife. I mean, Mark Myers.
Yes, Mark? Movie wife.
You guys are hashtag brave. Yes.
I mean, we did go see Black Klansman together as well.
That is pretty brave, to be honest. Cool.
Hashtag woke.
Yeah.
You definitely parade your wokeness. You make it abundantly clear on Twitter, buddy, you're woke. Anyone who knows Ant knows he's woke.
I don't know if I'm super woke on Twitter.
You're very woke.
I feel like I could be a little more woke. I could be a little more obvious in my wokeness, I feel like.
You don't hold back on it, that's for sure. I feel, well, maybe because we know you a little bit better. You make me feel bad for being white. We'll leave it at that, and we'll go into the movie.
Well, you should feel bad.
Every day. It's a curse and a gift.
Yes. So, getting back on track just a little bit, we're stalling for time right now because we really don't want to go into this movie that we're about to discuss.
I think we all felt like we wanted to get into, like, this was a movie where when you brought it up, I think I said, oh, fuck yeah, let's do this one. I was excited because I had seen a trailer two years ago, and it seemed pretty awesome.
The movie we decided to watch this week is none other than the Russian superhero film known in the States as Guardians. Came out in 2017, directed by Sarik Andrejian. Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that pronunciation. Sarik Andrejian.
I think you might have hit it on the head. I think that was perfect.
Yeah. I did take 7 years of Russian.
Yeah. That's why I became friends with you. Your wokeness and your ability to speak Russian.
That's what I put on my Tinder profile.
That's how you got all the babes. I speak Russian.
Mark, what's your impressions, first off, of Guardians?
So I couldn't stop watching this movie without thinking of how to make it better. There's a framework of a good superhero movie here. And I'm just like, well, that was, they could have.
I think the exact problem of this movie is that it's only a framework.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, if you went to that and like they had little moments where if they expounded on those moments and added like a half hour to this movie, they could have gotten a little bit better.
I'm going to say the exact opposite of you, Mark. I don't think there was anything that could save this movie. It was the characters are very boring for the powers that they display. And the powers are unique in certain characters. Like the one can control Earth and they just kind of, he throws pebbles pretty much. He throws little stones.
Yeah.
And then you have a guy who could go into full bear mode. And he's kind of a pussy. He really, he doesn't have that big of an impact on the overall story. They have an invisible woman who's clearly visible. It's, did you ever, maybe we're showing our age here, but the original Halo game, do you remember that game? I'm sure you guys remember.
Yeah.
Remember you had the invisible perk, you could pick up an invisible shield or whatever it was, but you still saw the outline of the guy moving. That's essentially what her power was. She just had an outline. So she wasn't useful. And the only useful guy is the teleporter with the awesome blades.
Yeah. They're very impractical blades, but they're pretty cool looking.
Yeah. That's the first thing I thought. Like, those wouldn't serve any purpose in a real world battle. They'd be almost impossible to do anything. Because they're pretty much sickle cell. Sickle like moon, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? You really can't handle those blades, but they look fucking badass, and that's really what you're going for in this type of movie.
Yeah.
My point being with spending the time is if you wrote a little more about these characters, maybe they wouldn't have been as boring and one note as they were, because each character had a framework of a thing. Her losing her memory, getting to how we first see her, and then what's the bear guy's connection to the invisible woman, and everything is, if they went a little further and deeper with better writing, they could have stopped it from being boring. It was Russians trying to do the Avengers, essentially.
I think it was more them trying to capitalize off Guardians of the Galaxy, to be honest.
That might be better.
There's a clear moment at the end where it's a direct parallel to the ending of the first Guardians movie. And I don't know if this movie had its own comic in Russia or maybe in the States as well, but it almost seems as if it starts out that you're supposed to know who these characters are and how they know each other, because they just randomly show up in each other's lives when the Nick Fury process is going on in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
They're recruiting all the Guardians, and it's like, oh, do you usually annihilate old friends? Who the fuck are you guys? How do they know each other? Explain. Right. This.
Yes. So,
it would be like watching the Avengers before watching anything before the Avengers.
It's like that if you have no prior knowledge of these characters.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, everyone's got at least some fleeting knowledge of the Hulk or Captain America or Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. These are brand new characters, and we are introduced to them 40 years or 70 years after their relevancy.
They're created during
World War II, and then they're up through the 70s, I want to say, and then they disband. And then
isn't it like basically when in our timeline Soviet Union would have collapsed, roughly, is when they're done.
She doesn't remember anything prior to 1978.
That was before the Soviet Union fell.
Soviet fell in 1989.
89. Right. I think this film not only suffered from, not even that, I think I know, it suffered from not just a lack of knowing the protagonist, but you also don't know anything about the antagonist. This guy just shows up at the very beginning, and I'll give this movie credit. It gets going right away.
Mm-hmm.
But Frankenstein's monster shows up, and he's the big bad. But why? Who? Where? Who is he? You know, there's no mention of him for... He shows up, and you really don't get a backstory from him until halfway through the movie.
They talk about it early in the beginning.
Yeah, they did the whole exposition dump.
Yeah.
Where he...
It's part of the dump where they start the... Now you gotta go recruit... Gotta go find the Guardians.
Right before the late title card.
Yeah.
They don't really give you that big of a backstory on the guy, right?
They say he was a Soviet scientist. He was trying to create something that didn't work, and then there's another scientist that he was jealous of, and then there was an explosion.
He blows the... Okay, so that was him. All right. They really didn't make it clear to me, but I do remember when he says he set the lab up to explode, and the explosion didn't kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was not aware that was him.
Yeah, I think one of the things, the one thing that it has going for it is also something that works against it, and that is the short runtime. I think asking an audience to sit through a movie long, this movie, that if it was longer than an hour and a half, would have been impossible. But also, because it's only 90 minutes long, it's also tough to fully flesh out all these characters.
Yes. Yeah, I actually thought before we started recording it was only an hour. So I don't know where I lost those 25 minutes, those 30 minutes.
It's a breezy film is what you're saying.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. I think part of it is because I watch these movies while I'm working, so I do tend to get caught up in work. The past couple of films we've watched for our last few episodes have been brutal to get through, and this one was no exception.
Yeah, I didn't hate this movie, and I said that in the text, because I think this movie does kind of have a reputation of just being god awful, and I don't think it's a good movie. But if you told me that there was a Russian superhero movie that just kind of rips off Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers, I would have assumed it was going to wind up a little worse than this. I think it's just dull. I think it's a boring movie. Yeah. I think there are things that kind of work. Basically, just that one character that has the cool swords, I think, is the most interesting thing.
Yeah.
But you know what? When all is said and done, we've had 10 years of Marvel movies, about 20 movies, and not once did it ever deliver on having a Russian model ride a man bear that also has a...
Yes!
Yeah.
And that's one thing this movie delivers on, is that there is a scene where a Russian model rides a man bear that is also holding a minigun.
That was the moment I was mentioning pre-call. As soon as it happened, in my room, I just went, yes! And she started...
I wasn't blown away by that. And that's something that should blow me away. Something that a super hot Russian chick riding a bear. No, it was so fucking lame, man. So lame.
I will say that this movie needed more of those moments.
Yes.
Needed to lean into Man Bear. And they really didn't.
And I'll tell you why that scene didn't work, Mark. When he goes full bear, it wasn't even for, like, when the Hulk hulks out at the end of the first Avengers and he fucking punches a giant alien in the face.
Yeah.
That's badass. When a guy just like he gets a little upset and then goes full man bear or goes full bear and just kind of like throws around a couple of ragdoll, you know, like just nameless soldiers. That's not cool. That's not a big moment. It didn't raise the stakes anymore. And then the second time he becomes a bear, he gets knocked the fuck out.
He does. He's actually more formidable as Bear Man than he is as full bear.
That's what I'm saying. Like, when you go full bear, you should be an unstoppable killing machine. But this, he's just kind of...
He's kind of like a circus bear. He's like a Russian circus bear.
It actually hurts him to become full bear. And he looks less cool visually. Because I'm not going to say that the visuals on this movie were good, because he looks pretty god-awful as Man Bear. But when he goes full bear, it's painful. It's almost video game quality. PlayStation 3 video game quality.
It's slightly better than the Twilight werewolves, though.
I don't know. I have,
from what I remember, yes.
Those. If this movie had more of those moments, it would have been cooler. These guys kind of suck. They don't really do anything of importance. I think the coolest parts of these movies were when you get the little individual snippet of each character when they're being recruited. Like the guy with the swords, he takes on, I guess, a Russian mob group. I don't know who they are, but he slices through the cars and everything. And the man bear pig, he's being hunted in the woods and he's throwing dudes through cabins. It's pretty cool stuff, but other than that, they're pretty unimpressive throughout the rest of the movie.
What I kind of liked about that with the whole recruitment scene, and we're getting a lot into the plot without actually going into the plot yet, is kind of how each of these characters represents a little different piece of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Probably, obviously, it means more to someone that lives in Russia or one of the former Soviet territories. Man Bear is in Siberia. Rockman is in Armenia. The girl's in Moscow. And then the other guy's in Kazakhstan, I believe. So it's kind of interesting to see that they're kind of representatives of all those different areas and shows you the difference of and how vast the USSR was. As people that are, as Americans, we probably have long forgotten how big the USSR was, except for Mark, because Mark watches Rocky IV every other week.
Does the swords guy have a name, by the way? I have no idea.
Khan.
That's a pretty good name. That's a good name to have for a swordsman, too. I like that. This makes him even better.
Yeah. If there was a Khan movie, I'd watch it.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. And he seemed to have the best backstory.
Yes, that scene on the roof. Yeah.
But that came out of nowhere, too. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's like we're getting this story like a third of the way into it, or two-thirds into it.
Right. The doctor shows up halfway through the movie. I think that's the doctor who, I might be wrong, is the old doctor. Is that the guy who creates the Frankenstein's monster by accident?
No, I believe he created the Guardian. Patriot, the Guardians. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Guardians. Okay. So yeah, that guy shows up halfway through the movie. There's no prior existence or knowledge of him, I believe.
There is. No. Well,
there is. Think he's dead.
You're getting into the plot, and I guess maybe we'll jump into the plot because I'll answer some of these questions for you. I watched this twice, so it comes together on the second viewing. So the plot. First of all, we start this movie with about 6 company title cards because obviously it's getting financed by a bunch of different companies, one of which I think the main one, which I believe is Enjoy Movies, went bankrupt after this film because it was a complete bomb. So the movie starts off after the title cards with a whole bunch of Cold War era stock footage of some missile tests and Kennedy and all that shit. And then we get a flash forward because then we get a scene of some weapons testing with some machines. And then those turn on the scientists that are testing them, and it turns out that it winds up being our big bad. He takes control over those machines that shoot missiles at the scientists that are testing it, and then he commandeers those machines and takes them as his own. We then flash to a underground base of the Russian government where we find, what is her name? Major Elena Larina is being briefed on the Patriot Project, which was a Cold War secret mission or secret organization that was created by some Russian scientists, one of which is August Kuratov, who winds up being our big bad. And his project is he's trying to create a universal remote, essentially, to kind of create a remote that can control any sort of machinery, and it fails. Then there's another project that's going on with his rival scientists. Don't have the name in front of me immediately, but essentially what his plan is to create super soldiers, essentially, or kind of tap into the DNA of these selected individuals, defend the homeland. We get the creation of the Guardians. We then find out through exposition dump that Kuratov then took his experiments into a secret underground base to continue his research. When the Soviet Union government tried to stop him, he blew up the facility, killing them and then turning him into a sort of mutant. Now they realize that he has taken those machines, and now it's up to this woman to find the Guardians and stop this guy.
And that's when it sets up the late title card where it goes, well, what's the name of this project?
Which is the second time we see that title card.
Yeah.
It was, right? I wasn't going crazy?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to double check because I thought, did I accidentally hit something I shouldn't have? I've never seen that before in a movie. So as long as I'm not crazy.
No. So we get an extended title card sequence, which ends with the Guardians logo. And then we have this whole kind of exposition, and then she drops the line, what is this? What is this called? And then we get it again.
Very strange. It reminded me of the first Avengers movie. Loki comes and attacks the base, and then Nick Fury says to call in the team, and then someone says something, and it just flashes the Avengers logo.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's very Avengers-esque.
Yeah. And then she briefs her underlings, her team, to try and help her locate it, and they locate them all in about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Very, very quickly. Yes.
Yeah. This is where I mentioned earlier about if it was a good movie, you know, not boring, this is where you could have padded the time by having them find them one at a time over a period of 10 to 15 minutes or something like that. Then just, they found them. Oh, they got the other one.
In my mind, it would have been cooler. Like, maybe they know where one of them is.
Yeah.
And then they use that guy to help track down the others. We're looking for your old team. Do you know where they are? And you could probably spend, like you said, 15, 20 minutes on if this, like you said, is a good movie and maybe 2 hours in length. Yeah. You could probably spend a good 15, 20 minutes tracking down the other Guardians.
Yeah.
That would also cause this movie to be a half hour longer. And I don't think that's what we want, what we need.
Yeah. Oh, no. In hindsight, I'm glad they went the way they did. But if we're writing Guardians, this is how it would have been written.
Yeah.
We could just put a disclaimer there. Us writing Guardians.
Yes.
She goes off and she tracks down the team in a couple of scenes. Lur has sent himself into a monastery. We have to listen to him do the Our Father in its entirety.
Yes.
He has the ability to control rocks and earth, I suppose.
Yeah.
So he's the first one to be found, I believe they said, and he's found in Armenia. Then they go on to find Bearman named Ursus, who, as Bearman, he turns into a bear, sort of like the Incredible Hulk. He's found in Siberia. Then we go find Khan, who can kind of teleport, sort of. And he wields these pretty badass swords. And he's also kind of a ninja. And he's in Kazakhstan.
He has a lot going on. He's very diverse.
Yeah. And we see him just doing in a whole bunch of probably Kazakhstani gangsters. Just basically sorting through like SUVs, splitting it in half and shit. It's kind of cool. It's probably one of the coolest scenes in the movie. And then we finally go to Moscow at the circus and we see Xenia is the sort of ballerina, sort of kind of Cirque du Soleil performer. She dives into a pool and she shows that her body, when she comes in contact with water, becomes invisible. So that's a weird kind of superpower.
Yeah, she's essentially useless if it's a nice day out.
Yeah. Yeah, well, essentially what you come to learn is that, which is coming up in the next scene, she lost her memory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She's got some rock hard abs too. That's what I noticed.
She does. Ooh. Yeah, she was showing those bad boys off.
Yes.
Yeah. And those really terrible fighting moves.
Yeah. Not great with the choreography, but she's a very good looking woman.
And that more than makes up for it, really.
Yeah. She's your standard Russian model looking chick.
Yeah, I was pleased with the overall look and model of her, because she has some pretty cool features on her. Like, she's got, they're almost gill-like, and yeah, she has her awesome abs. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, and I do love in this movie how the major was just basically somebody writing on the script going, just make her look like 1980s Bridget Nielsen, and.
she kind of reminded me of Hans Gruber's brother. What's the in Die Hard with a Vengeance?
Oh, what? yeah. Simon's girlfriend.
Yes, she kind of reminded me of Simon's woman, not as intense.
So the Guardians are recruited to stop Kuratov. Then they go to some sort of broken down laboratory, I guess. Maybe it's his old lab. They go to try and fight him, but they are quickly captured because Allura runs out of rocks. Xenia is frozen, and I don't know, Arsis and Khan just don't work out.
Well, yeah, Khan gets hit with a dart, and the bear gets wrapped up in some kind of net.
Yeah, like an electrified net. And they get captured. All except for Allura are captured. Lur is taken back to the Patriot base to recover from his fight with Kuratov, and the other three are brought into Kuratov's hideout and taken prisoner. He offers them to join him, and they refuse. Then I want to say the next scene is them being rescued, more or less. Lur has kind of a moment with...
I think, if I remember correctly, the next scene is the invasion of Moscow.
Okay.
Of the scientist bringing his clone army and, you know, the tanks that he stole and all that into Russia, into Moscow. And then he goes after this giant satellite tower. Then that's when we found out that the general backstabbed them all and that the original thing was basically an ambush. I'm reading into that a little bit because they don't actually spell it out that the original thing was an ambush, but you kind of get the gist. And then in that scene, he does the one thing that all backstabbing people do in superhero movies when they're talking to the big villain. He goes, well, I did my part, now you do your part. And then the villain just kills him.
Yeah, again, this movie is very paint by the numbers
in
terms of superhero.
Yeah. So, and then it goes to the rescue mission.
Right. Major Elena, they figure out where they're being captured. She goes to rescue them, and it's a very quick rescue. They do the whole Indiana Jones thing once again. You know, they're like, oh, you got to try and figure out how to reconfigure the wires to get it there. And then she just shoots it. And then the force field breaks.
Disappears. Oh, and I loved at the point that they found out where this base was, because that's when the other scientist basically comes back from the dead.
Yep.
The rival scientist is the one that points out this lab.
Mm-hmm. After that scene, I believe the two old-ass scientists meet each other, more or less.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have their kind of face-to-face of their past, and the Kuratov, the bad guy, winds up killing the other scientist, or he's not dead.
He thinks he does.
Yeah, wow, there's just this plot is so uninteresting.
And then the next part, everything's very paint by numbers after this. The next part, they do the montage where they give them all the outfits that will counteract their weaknesses. This is where we find out that basically the invisible girl's power is that she can turn invisible. There's no set standard with it. So they give her something that makes her do it at will again. And then they give the one guy like a whip with the rocks and the electricity in it. And then they give like a special suit power that has like a harpoon for the cool guy. And then the bear, they give him the automatic guns that he can control that go with where his aggression is. But then when he goes full bear, they become automatic shooting, which is where we get the scene with her.
Yeah, we got a big old minigun. It's pretty cool to give a bear a minigun, but also at the same time, it's kind of like, you're a bear. Isn't that enough?
It was obviously playing off Rocket when the guy wrote it.
Exactly. What is his plan? His plan winds up being to create this satellite signal to harness the old Soviet satellite Hammer, which was supposed to be a counterattack to the Reagan Star Wars program.
Yes.
So it could basically wipe out an entire city with just a laser beam. I don't know how much this is based in reality. There's probably something at some time. It was probably an anti-missile satellite, but they're turning it into that it's a Death Star, essentially.
It's almost GoldenEye-esque.
Right. Yeah, that too.
And then if he connects enough satellites to get it high enough, then he can control all of the world's electronics and take over all the military stuff in the world.
So the Guardians are sent and deployed to go and try and stop him. And this is kind of the third act of the Avengers. There's a giant tower with the big bad at the top of it, trying to send a signal to space, a la Stellan Skarsgård at the top of Stark Tower. He's got a force field around him, and they're trying to get to him, but it seems impossible. And meanwhile, this is going on, the Major Elena finds the old scientist, the good one, and he tells her that the only way to stop Kuratov is to combine all their powers, a la Guardians of the Galaxy, but it might kill them. So they try and stop Kuratov, but he thwarts them.
The one interesting part, and I don't know if you guys probably didn't pick up on any of this, they need to short circuit the force field for the brilliant plan of sending electronically controlled rockets towards a guy that can control electronic things. To short circuit it, he says, metal wouldn't be good enough. It's too hot. And then the girl walks up and just grabs it and electrocutes herself. And then basically is fine. I don't know if it has anything to do with she can regulate her temperature, which was one of her superpowers, is why she could take the electricity.
Probably.
And then all that was meant to do was the love story part where the bear man pulls her off and then saves her.
This is also the scene that we get bear man with hot Russian model and minigun.
Yeah. Yeah, all in this part.
Yeah. It's a whole lot of nothing, this whole scene. There's, you know, Khan comes in on a plane and the bear guy goes full bear, which he was afraid of doing. In an earlier scene, he mentions that he's not sure if he could control himself again if he goes full bear man.
And then they do the classic paint by numbers where the army decides that they're just going to fire the missiles anyway, even though the major finds out the secret way to defeat the guy. And then she's got to run off on her own, and leads to one of the second probably badass parts of the movie, is where she just comes riding in that motorcycle out of nowhere. Everything's like ham-fisted and just dropped on them. Like, yeah, you can do this, but it might kill you.
This movie, its main thing is it has all these cool parts, but they're so underwhelming. When the rescue mission is very underwhelming. Yeah. The montage where they get their new suits, very underwhelming. When they fight that guy, they run away. Right? They're
miles away when they actually stop him.
Yeah.
I think at one point when they get their asses kicked by, his name's August, right?
Yeah. August Kuratov.
So when they're on top of the tower and they get their asses beat, and the plane flies overhead, and Khan throws up his harpoon, and they just fly away. Like, what the fuck was that? And then they abandon the plane when August brings it down, and they leave the pilot to just crash and die.
He's got, like, he's terrible when it comes to like insults too, because like the military shoots their missiles at him and he, you know, deflects them. He says something to the effect of, "Missiles to defeat me? You guys are dumber than you look."
You guys are stupider than I thought you were.
Yeah. It's very clunky. It's
in Avengers, as Mark brought up, they're firing a nuke into New York City. Meanwhile, in Russia, they shoot 4 regular missiles. It's like there's no stakes involved. Like, oh, you can't fire the missiles. The Guardians are still there. Well, they're not firing a nuke. I'm sure
they'll
be okay.
Well, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure that part of the USSR disbanding is that they weren't allowed to have nuclear weapons.
But I'm sure they also don't have guys.
That might be historically accurate, though.
But you're going to tell me that they don't have a little something stocked away just in case.
So in the Russian version of this, where they actually speak in Russian, there's probably a line where it's like, "If only we had some nukes. Damn you, USA."
Damn,
this is an anti-US movie.
Yeah.
At the heart of it, there's definitely some anti-American undertones.
In the form of pro-Soviet Union.
I couldn't find them. I'm sure they're there, but I have no idea what they are.
Well, if you think about it, because the end of this movie, Major Elena says that it's all about teamwork and it's all about being friends. And they're all from different parts of the former Soviet Union. So it's probably talking about how if Russia is going to be a superpower again, it really needs to come together to defeat its enemies.
Yes.
So there's their pro-USSR theme.
And then her final line being, "And I found more Guardians."
Mm-hmm.
Which, if we want to keep with this theme, meaning there's more former Soviet areas to get back together.
I took that as their cheap attempt to be
setting up
a style movie where, you know, again, she's Nick Fury. And, oh, by the way, there's more Guardians out there. And then it lingers on for an uncomfortable amount of time. Cut to black as soon as she said, "By the way, there's more Guardians." Cut to black. Credits roll. But they kind of hang on her for maybe 10-15 seconds.
Yeah. It could be both, though. It could be pro-USSR sentiment as well as a cheap ploy to get a sequel. And we also even have a post-credit sequence where she is attacked by a soldier at a truck stop. Before she kills him, she's questioning who sent him, and he says Ferrum, and then he dies. So no one knows who Ferrum is. We'll never know who Ferrum is because there's never going to be a sequel to this movie. And I guess that's Guardians. We kind of went through it really quick. We had a lot of we talked a lot about it before we actually went through the plot. We kind of touched upon the more interesting things to it for us.
The one thing that I was expecting to have a payoff at the end is there's a scene where Lair is laying and basically going through his 5 lines of dialogue to explain his backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, you know, watching his daughter get old and watching his grandchildren grow up while he's staying the same age. And I was sitting, I was like, what if the Major's his granddaughter?
That'd have been good. That whole sequence, that whole speech ends with him just saying, like, "You should never have to bury your children." And I was just like, yeah, sure. If they die in their, like, 20s, that's sad. But you've watched them die of old age. It's really not the same thing.
Who knows? None of us will ever know what it's like to be immortal.
Eternally in our 30s while our children grow old.
Worst things in life, I guess. But again, I don't care enough about this movie to really delve too deep into this guy's backstory. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure it weighs on you after a while watching people that you love die while you're just the same.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was waiting for that payoff.
I'm surprised there's no pro-Putin talk in this movie, but maybe it is in the Russian version.
Well, the bear man walks around without his shirt on a lot.
That's true.
That's a pretty good line to draw there.
Is Putin from Siberia?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I know he's an ex-KGB agent. That's about the only thing about Putin that I recall. And that whole thing where he's like in the background of the crowd when Reagan went to visit Russia.
Mm. He's from St. Petersburg, actually.
Yeah.
He's from the motherland.
Or at least that's what he tells everybody.
Yeah,
that's true, too. That's a story.
He does have a Super Bowl ring, though.
Yes.
Does he?
He stole it from Robert Kraft back in, was it the 2007?
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah. So Robert Kraft went to Russia as like a friendly travel, and then he showed him the ring and he's like, oh, I like this. And then immediately like four of Putin's guards got in between Kraft and Putin, and then Putin just walked off with it.
Put it in his pocket and walked off.
That's like the Simpson episode when Burns...
Yep. When he loses the $1 trillion bill?
Yeah. Can I have the $1 trillion back? What $1 trillion?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we could trust the president of Cuba. Is that...
Yeah.
Robert Kraft was thinking, I'm sure I could trust the president of Russia.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Guardians, it's... Like I said, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I think because it was 90 minutes, it was watchable. It's not super interesting. Even, you know, you could probably tell just by us struggling through the plot that not a whole lot of interesting stuff happens throughout it. So I wouldn't really recommend it unless you really just want to see a pro USSR film. Because yeah. I guess the Guardians are sort of a symbolic USSR, right? They've broken up and now they're coming back together.
Could you even say that the swords that Khan carries are like the sickle from the USSR flag?
Yeah, and the hammer is in space. And that was the satellite. Sickle and hammer. I don't know how the sickles and the hammer connect, but in terms of this particular movie, but they're both mentioned.
Yeah. I don't know what rocks have to do. Maybe their rock hard will to survive in such a harsh environment.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, I'm stretching there. Every time you see Russia in movies, it's like a barren wasteland of just cold.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that they could grow there is potatoes.
Is that the only? I thought that was Ireland.
I think it's potatoes and beets.
Oh, yeah, because vodka is basically made from potatoes.
Yeah. Russian vodka.
And they have borscht. See, that's another thing that
they make a joke in the movie.
That's another thing that the chick can do. She can make really great borscht. Which, but I don't know if
that's a superpower.
Jury is out. We never get to taste it, so we don't really know.
She could be full of shit.
She probably is.
Yeah, this movie, again, I kind of went into it thinking it was going to be, if nothing else, fun, but I was severely let down. It's a poor man's Marvel movie.
Yeah.
It has the same beats as the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy. Some similar characters, similar plot, but it's just, you know how when people say, oh, this turned up to 11, this was like a 5.
This is like what you would expect an Asylum superhero movie would be.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, it's just like, it's pulling things from movies that did it better.
Yeah.
And just kind of doing it on the cheap. When you hear, oh, there's a Russian superhero movie. It's like, first of all, that sounds crazy. And you throw in a man bear. It's like, this movie's going to be in fucking sane. And it never really gets there.
Yeah.
It has the potential to get there, but it just never, it never pushes that envelope.
Yeah. No, one piece of trivia thing from IMDb is like that it was a $5 million budget.
Yep. So 330 ruples, which is about $5 million in U.S. currency. It bombed hard. It premiered number one, and then it just kind of just tanked after that. It's not great.
Honestly, I think it took itself too seriously. Where if they just kind of went balls to the wall with it and just decided, you know, this is a movie that has a really weird Frankenstein-looking creature that can controls electricity, and then a guy who can turn into a fucking bear. If they just went buck wild with it, I think it would have been a little bit better. At least it would have been more entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
They just decided to be like, we're going to try to establish our own superhero franchise, and it doesn't get off the ground.
Very middle of the road.
Should have started with the Khan movie.
Yeah. I'd watch that Khan movie.
Yeah, that's the problem. They went the DC route where they didn't really do any solo movie.
In terms of like US superhero movies versus this, I would watch this over a lot of DC movies. I know I've said that in the text. I think it just wins out just because of the length of it. It's like Dawn of Justice is asking an extra hour of your time.
Mm-hmm. I would even say this is trying to think of a Marvel movie that this is better than.
The Dark World? Is it better than the worst Marvel movie?
No, it can't be. Because at least those movies have some sort of, like, the plot is at least a little better. The effects are better. The actors are better. But in terms of entertainment value, you could probably put this out there with Dark World, I'd say. Ang Lee's Hulk, for sure. That was a shit show.
Yeah, it's probably better than, like, some of the, probably the Schumacher Batman movies. Batman and Robin?
I don't know. Because at least you have some memorable stuff from that. And the action are somewhat better. They're better than this, right?
Is it Forever or Batman and Robin and has Mr. Freeze?
That's Batman and Robin.
Well, this movie
episode of They Call This a Movie.
Yeah, this this movie is lacking in ice puns. So
yes.
Right. That's what I mean.
Which is crazy because it is Russia.
You could have made a lot more bear puns. That's all I'm saying.
Batman and Robin has the star power of Schwarzenegger, obviously. So you got to give it points just for that. And it's still a Batman movie. Even the worst Batman movie is going to be better than most shitty comic book movies. I'd say most, but not all.
I think the one thing we agree on, and I don't know if you'd said this in the recording or beforehand, Dan, is at least the powers and stuff with these people actually seem a little bit original and interesting in terms of what they can do. Banner can't do like half Hulk, half Bruce Banner.
Right. Technically, he can in the comic books, but we're not going into that, obviously. Yeah. But yeah, you have a guy who can teleport. How crazy is that power when you combine it with the skill set of a ninja? Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's basically like, was it Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
But with giant sickles.
Again, it's Nightcrawler if he were a ninja. And then again, I'm nerding out here, but at one point, Nightcrawler does use swords in the comic books. Again, neither here nor there. I'm doing a weird flex. This movie was, as Anthony said, very underwhelming.
Boring and dull is probably the best description. I don't know if Anne has anything more to add.
No, I would have loved more of, like I said, I said earlier, this movie to deliver in that one scene where Russian model rides Bear Man that's also carrying a minigun. But those types of scenes are few and far between. I needed this movie to lean in its crazy Russianness. It just plays itself safe too much when it shouldn't. It's got a guy that turns into a bear. That should be like step one. And then the writing the script, you're like, all right, we got a Bear Man. What else crazy shit can we put in here?
I agree. You could have done like an X-Force type of thing, you know, where in Deadpool 2, they have a guy who can vomit acid. That's kind of something I'd want to see in this kind of Russian movie. You know, some guy who has really out there powers that you wouldn't think a normal hero would have. And it's something that you don't see every day. Like, yeah, you know, a guy who can change into half a man, half a bear. That's pretty badass. Or if you know, Russia was all about robots at one point, weren't they? Why not have a guy who's like a robot or cyborg or some shit? You know, there's a plethora of things that I'm sure Russia has that the United States or the rest of the world does not have. So why can't they go based off that?
And that's all I really have to say about Guardians.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough on these weeks where the big movie of the week is superhero movies, and another one's right around the corner. with Avengers Endgame, so we'll probably have to get a little more creative than trying to find another terrible superhero movie.
Yeah, the only thing I would have done with the end, and this is just me knowing hockey, is I would have made a slight wink and nod saying that you know, Alex Ovechkin is a Guardian. You know, just go, we found more Guardians. One is in Washington. You know? Wink.
And a nice little nod. Yeah, a nice little
I don't know how big he is as a star over there for that little wink and a nod to come across. Basically, the end of Men in Black.
Right.
When they make reference to what? Dennis Rodman?
Alien.
They're getting Bulls tickets. We're like, oh, we'll ask Rodman. He's from that planet or wherever.
So is this a no trivia movie?
We've got trivia. Good.
Yeah.
We are back with trivia. I don't remember who went first the last time.
So neither do I.
We'll say Dan goes first.
Yeah, I was going to say Dan technically went first with the categories last week, if you want to go by that.
All right, then Mark, you go first. Okay. This week is female superhero trivia.
We're going to find out my hatred of women, aren't we? Is that what we're doing?
My wokeness.
Let's go. All right,
guys. Here we go. Mark, your first question.
Yeah.
Current Miss Marvel Kamala Khan resides in what East Coast city?
I'm going to be mad if this is a slam dunk for me. But East Coast city. I don't know. I'm going to say Baltimore.
It's incorrect. Dan.
East Coast city. Boston.
It's incorrect. The correct answer is Jersey City.
Yeah, that would make more sense because she's with the Avengers a lot.
Mm-hmm. All right. Your first question, Dan. Introduced in 2011, America Chavez became the second person to use what superhero name?
It's something America. It's not Captain America. I know that. Hold on. Shit, I know who this character is too. I'm drawing a blank.
No guess.
Liberty? Captain Liberty?
It's incorrect. Mark, can you steal?
Wolverine?
No. Dan, you were very close at first.
It's America. America.
It's Miss America.
Miss America. Fuck.
That's dumb.
I didn't think it would be something so obvious as Miss America.
Yeah. All right. I thought you were going to get that one.
I should have. I'm really mad at myself. Because the woman from American 99 wanted to play her.
Okay. Brooklyn 99.
Brooklyn 99,
I'm sorry.
Okay. Mark?
Yes.
Who is widely considered to be the first ever female comic superhero?
Dan may get this, but I'm going to go on the limb. Is it Tank Girl?
It's incorrect. Dan.
I'm going to assume it's Wonder Woman, no?
It is not.
Oh.
It is Fantoma. Appeared in Jungle Comics number 2 in February 1940.
That's a deep dive, man.
It was. Okay. Your question. Adrienne Barbeau, actress from Swamp Thing, The Fog, Escape from New York, and ex-wife to director John Carpenter, voiced the animated version of what comic book character in the 1990s?
That might be Wonder Woman. Is it Wonder Woman?
It is not Wonder Woman. Mark.
Is it Harley Quinn?
It is not. It is Catwoman.
Ah!
I think Harley Quinn is Tara Strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's from Batman the Animated Series, right? Is where...
Yep. Yeah. Catwoman in Batman the Animated Series, voiced by Adrienne Barbeau. Okay. Mark, speaking of Harley Quinn...
Nice.
Harley Quinn owns two hyenas. What are their names?
Jesus.
Yeah. Damn it, I should know.
I just pulled Dan back away from the computer and yelled shit. I'm trying to think of connections because I don't actually know. I'm just trying to think if there's a I don't know. Mr. and Jay. I don't.
Nope.
Jeez. I don't know. I don't know.
Bud and Lou.
Nah, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, I don't feel as bad that Dan didn't know.
These are hard questions because these are ones that not a lot of people would know, really.
So I know that you know comics, so I didn't want to make this too easy on you.
Those are, I mean, the voice actress one, I'm really good with voice actors. And... If it's not, again, if it's not like Tara Strong, I'm not going to know who the female is.
Right. All right. Well, okay. Dan, what comic creator is credited as having created Riri Williams?
He's fucking quick. Is it Brian Michael Bendis?
It is Brian Michael Bendis.
Damn it.
Nice.
I only say damn it because he's the only one that I could think of off the top of my head. And it was going to be a complete guess.
There you go. It's on the board. Obviously. So if anyone's playing at home, the first question that gets guessed right is when the answer is a male.
Sorry.
Okay, Mark.
Yeah.
Dr. Marston, creator of Wonder Woman, is also credited as being the inventor for what machine?
Jesus. Like in comic books? Okay. Or in real life?
In real life.
In real life, okay. Marston, Wonder Woman. Trying to think of a time period.
I think it was the 30s.
Yeah. No. Thanks.
might be later than that. 40s?
Probably the 40s based on when Phantoma appeared.
Yeah.
It's in the 40s, Mark.
Yeah. So we're... I don't know. I'm going to say a strange one. I don't know if she would have created it, but the hot water heater?
Nope. Okay. Dan.
Not a terrible guess.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a machine, though. Is it the Lazy Susan?
Is that? I believe that was invented by Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, okay.
No, it's slightly related to Wonder Woman. He also invented the lie detector.
Oh, wow.
Right. I was close. Lazy Susan, lie detector.
Both L's. okay, Dan.
Yeah.
What Oscar-winning actress played the villain in Supergirl, Hollywood's first female-led superhero film?
Let's see. What? Say it again. It was an Oscar-winning.
Oscar-winning actress played the villain in Supergirl.
Like best actress, Oscar-winning.
Either actress or supporting. I think best actress.
The only person who comes to mind is Meryl Streep. I'm gonna say Meryl Streep.
It's incorrect, Mark.
I guess she would. No. I don't know why this came in my head. I know it's going to be wrong, but for the time period and all that, could have been. I don't know how old she'd been, but.
Huh.
No, it wouldn't have been her. I was going to say. I was going to say Elizabeth Taylor, but she's probably too old at that point.
Is that your guess?
Yeah. I can't think of anybody else right now.
It's incorrect. Yeah. Correct answer is Faye Dunaway.
Yeah. And Mia Farrow. Is Mia Farrow Supergirl?
No, Helen Slater.
Helen Slater. Okay.
Yeah.
I just looked up the IMDb real quick because I was curious.
I think Mia Farrow might play her like mom or something.
Huh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't know. Okay, back to Mark, correct? Mark.
Sorry.
Pamela Anderson starred in Barb Wire, a movie adapted from a comic book from what comic book company?
That's 50-50.
Barb Wire. Oh, no, it's. I'm hoping it's not really obvious. I don't know. Is barbed wire a Marvel product?
It is not.
Yeah.
Dan?
See, now I'm in my own head. So maybe it's not 50-50 because I'm thinking could it be Dark Horse, could it be Image. I thought Stan Lee make a comic, a cartoon out of it?
I think that was Stripperella.
That's what it was. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of. All right, I'm going to go with Dark Horse.
That's correct.
Okay. So, yeah, I confused myself. I was like, oh, it's either got to be DC or Marvel. I remember there are actually other comic book companies.
There are indeed. All right, Dan's got a 2-0 lead.
Yeah.
Seems to be safe, but there is one question left. It's probably going to be a 2-0 lead. But I would love to be surprised. Here's your last question. In 1972, Linda Carter entered the Miss World USA beauty pageant representing what state?
Vermont?
No, incorrect. Mark.
Linda Carter. Again, I'm just going to go with the first state that popped in my head. Washington State.
It's incorrect. I feel like Chase would know this. I feel like he's a big Linda Carter fan. The answer is Arizona.
Okay.
That makes sense. She's a babe.
She's a robo babe.
Babe Hamilton. I thought it would be Vermont because she was in Super Troopers. And I think that takes place in Vermont.
Sure.
So I thought maybe that was like a nice little like, oh, you know, she's from there. So we'll make her the mayor or something like that. But anyway, I retain the title. Well, I take the title back.
You take it back. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is your first victory in the new year.
That does not look good for me. I should have known Miss America, and that's pretty much it.
I will say, I am usually pretty weak in these things, but then you went to the weakest of weak on me, which is comic books.
I will say that I, like I said, I I picked a few harder ones because I know Dan is well versed in the comics world. So I tried to go a little more current than just like the obvious ones. So I went Kamala Khan and American Chavez and Riri Williams.
I actually like Kamala Khan. I think we'll probably be seeing her in the future of Marvel movies.
Yeah, I read the first trade paperback of hers. Pretty good.
Yeah, she's really cool. I think because she's young, so she's like a fangirl.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would she's like Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Sure. Yeah, kind of.
I'm comparing a man to a woman. I'm just saying.
I like the early Riri Williams stuff, too. I was reading that for a little bit.
Well, she's an MIT student or something like that, right? And she's like
16.
Yeah, she hacks Tony's software.
Yeah.
I think I love that stuff, you know? I mean, I'm super excited for not only Captain Marvel. I'm excited for the Black Widow movie. And how, you know, Captain Marvel plays out in Endgame, because mm-hmm. she's supposed to be a pretty big factor. So,
yeah,
man. Listen, even though I only got two questions right, I am pro woman. All right. Pro female heroes. I love them. I can't get enough of them. All right.
Yeah.
It's pretty woke of you. Yeah.
My performance is probably less anti-woman and more anti-comic book.
Sure, Mark. Let's go with that.
It's about ethics and journalism, guys.
Oh, no.
All right, guys. So this week is done. Captain Marvel comes out when everyone hears this. It's coming out tomorrow. I'm looking ahead. I don't know. I don't even know what's supposed to come out next week. You know what's coming? You know what's next week? Next week is St. Patrick's Day. So maybe we'll do a St. Patrick's Day theme next week.
Would it be too obvious to do the leprechaun in space or in the hood?
If I could find one of those, we are totally doing one of those.
I would love to see the leprechaun in the hood. Who's in that? Coolio?
That sounds like something Coolio would be in.
So I would be excited to do that one of those.
Yeah. They're all good. The leprechaun movies are all excellent. Especially the one where he goes to Vegas, which I think is 3.
I think so. Wait, where is it 2?
I don't remember. Do you go to Vegas in this first sequel? Sounds crazy.
He kills a guy with a pogo stick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all fun. You can't go wrong with that.
I mean,
that.
Even National Lampoon waited till the 4th sequel, right? Vegas is 4th, right?
Vegas Vacation's 4.
Yeah. Leprechaun 3 is in Vegas.
Okay. Yeah, so if that's on there, maybe we could do one of those, but we'll figure something out.
We always got something coming. Yeah, so, okay, guys, any plugs you want to get out there?
Follow my Twitter. You can follow my Twitter, my wife's Twitter. I'm daquino122. My wife is at Jenny_Aquino. She does a lot of the artwork for the Stranger Damies website and the Instagram. Yes.
She also did the logo of They Call This a Movie.
She did the logo of our beautiful visage. Is that correct? Visages, visages, something. Our beautiful faces are on there.
Yeah.
So she did that, but give her a follow. You should probably give her a follow over me, because she's talented and I'm not talented, and I just kind of complain on Twitter. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So for me, it's the usual Stranger Damies, episode 57, which was yesterday. We're into the second session with our guest Stephanie. So as stakes got raised a little bit very early on, probably most of it in this episode. It's That opening's pretty long, but it was a nice character moment for you guys. So it's pretty fun. But yeah, so, and we'll probably have Talking Strangers coming out in a few weeks. Or in worst case, if we do another session before we record that, it'll be, you know, sometime in April. But we will have another one where, you know, talking to the guests for the first time and seeing what it was like to, you know, sit at the table with us chuckle fucks for a few sessions.
I zoned out for a little bit, and then you dropped chuckle fucks, and I came right back in.
So follow us at Stranger Damies. As Dan mentioned, the Instagram, Stranger Damies, has all the artwork by the great, you know, Jenny Aquino. And yeah, so tune in then. That's about all I got. And you can follow me at Off the Mark Tweet. Feel free to mute the words, you know, at Off the Mark Tweet and Bryce Harper if you want. Because then you'll maybe hear from me once every 6 days.
All right.
Why is Philadelphia getting all the good things?
Because it's a good city, Dan.
Title Town, USA.
I want to have a kid in the next year or two and turn him into that Boston kid that everybody wants to punch in the face.
5 years old, 4 championships. Four parades. Fuck that kid.
Fuck that kid indeed. That kid gets an extra special go fuck yourself on this episode.
Yes.
Yep, so that's going to wrap it up for They Call This a Movie. We're the They Call This a Movie podcast, which you can find on just about every streaming app for podcasts. We are on theycallthisamovie.podbean.com and on iTunes, Overcast, Stitcher, basically all those good places where you find podcasts. You just search They Call This a Movie and we should pop right up. We're part of the Main Damie Network. The maindamie.com is where we post all any and all other articles, podcasts that we are affiliated with. We'll go right up there. So you go on there, check it out. And we posted recently the written form of my top 10. Mark recently, before that, posted his top 5 video games of the year. So we're done doing our 2018 wrap-ups. Hopefully, once we start going to movies again, we'll start putting some articles for reviews up there, because I haven't been to a movie since the new year.
Yeah, and I will say that ad at the beginning of my thing with Stevie Wonder in it is 100% real, and it might be one of the best things on the internet.
There you go. If you haven't seen it, go on themainnamey.com and take a look at his article. It is something to behold, which is ironic. So if you have any questions, comments, you want to suggest a movie for us, you can reach us at themaindamie@gmail.com. You could also hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at themaindamie. We're trying to be a little more active on Twitter and Instagram. So give us follows there. Always appreciate it if you could follow us or subscribe and give us a rating and a review on iTunes so we get a little more noticed. I think that's huge for iTunes, is the amount of ratings and reviews. So go on there, give us a rating, give us a review. That'd be much appreciated. That's gonna do it for this week. They Call This a Movie. I am Anthony DelVecchio. With me this week has been Dan Aquino and Mark Myers. The director of this film, Guardians, from 2017, is Sarik Andrejian. Yeah, that's what it's going to be. Andrejian. So for Mark and for Dan, this is Anthony DelVecchio telling Sarik Andrejian to go fuck himself.